Shabbat Shalom. I'll probably have to apologize. I'll be a little slow this morning. It seems my old foe malaria decided to pay me a visit, so I'm not quite happy this morning. But the Lord is here. And if anybody can make you happy, it's Him, right? The blessing before learning the Torah. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who has made us holy through your commandments and has commanded us to actively study Torah. Praise Hashem, our God, sweeten the words of your Torah in our mouths and in the mouths of your people. May we and our offspring and all our offspring of your people, may we all together know your name and study your Torah for the sake of fulfilling your desire. Blessed are you, Hashem, who teaches Torah to your people. Amen. Today's parasha, Naso. And there are a couple meanings for Naso. One is take. And it starts off in chapters 4, verse 21. Adonai said to Moshe, take a census of the descendants of Gershon, also by clans and families. And that's what Pastor Sam read this morning. In this parsha, Adonai also lays down a lot of rules and regulations. He gives the priestly blessing. The tabernacle is finished. And all the tribes bring their offerings to dedicate the altar. As I was reading through this, I got a wee bit confused at one of the parts. In chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, it says, every contribution which the people of Israel consecrate and present to the Kohen will belong to him. Anything an individual consecrates will be his own. But what a person gives to the Kohen will belong to him. I had to mull that around for a bit. In fact, Gene and I, we're kind of Agatha Christie junkies, and we like Hercule Poirot, and in it he said, it's not who he is, it's who he is. And I got the same message out of that as I did verses 9 and 10. So what I did was, I took my own advice. If any of you has been in my classes, you know hermeneutics is pretty important. And I always say the first interpretation of a passage belongs to the person the passage was written to. So what I did was I checked to see what Rashi had to say about them. He explained it this way. The man who gives to a Kohen shall surely not lose, as whatever he gives shall ultimately be returned. They will be his. On the other hand, one who wants to keep his contribution, they shall be his. On the other hand, one who wants to keep his contribution, they shall be his. I had to think about that. The only properties left to him shall be the small percent that he was supposed to allot the Kohen, that is, what will be his. That's a lot of his-ins. To me, there seems to be a contradiction with this explanation. Does what he give to the Kohen remain his, or does only what he want to keep remain his. How does the word his play two different roles? One telling of fortune and the other telling of adversity. Well, guess what? That brought me to a story. Yes, isn't it? Before the turn of the century, Rabbi David, a talented worker, decided that he had had enough of the village. There was no money to be made, and he decided to travel to America in search of even a small fragment of the fabled streets that were paved with gold. Before he set off, he appointed his friend Yanko, a prominent businessman, to receive the monies that would soon be pouring in from his successful overseas venture. After taking a small fee from his service, Yanko would deliver the remaining monies to the man's family. Okay. How much should I take and how much should I give your wife? Asked Yanko. The American-bound traveler put his full faith in his friend and simply told him to use his own discretion. After a few months, David's efforts began to bear fruit, and he sent a respectable sum of money to Yanko's bank account in Kovino to be distributed to his wife and family. Yanko, however, had different plans. He kept almost the entire sum for himself, while allotting only a fraction of cash to go to David's wife and family. They, in turn, dejectedly, falsely assumed that David was still not able to make ends. A few months went by, and David's wife received a letter from him assuring her that things were going well and soon he would be able to move the entire family to the United States. Meanwhile, he concluded, "I am sure the sum you are receiving enables you to live extremely comfortable." Uh-oh. David's wife was flabbergasted. She had hardly received enough money to feed her family. So she ran to the Kovino rabbi, Isaac Spector, and cried her heart out. "Yanko is cheating us. My husband is sending us a fortune, but he is giving us a pittance." Immediately, the rabbi summons Yanko to his study. "Is it true," asks Rabbi Spector, "that you were supposed to give the monies received to David's wife?" "Yes," he declared smugly, "but I was allowed to take my fair share." "And what were you supposed to give?" the rabbi asked. David told me, "Give me what you want." Give her what you want, sorry. So he continued with a broad smirk on his face. "I took 90% of the money, and I gave her what I wanted. And that was 10%. Immediately, Rabbi Spector stood up and asked the man to repeat himself. "Can you repeat yourself? What did Rabbi David tell you to give her?" "He told me to give her exactly what I want." "Good," declared Rabbi Spector, knowing fully what David's true intention was. "As rabbi of Kovino, I command you to give her the 90% portion that you had kept for yourself." "But why?" "Because that is exactly what you want. You are to give her exactly what you want. The Torah tells us a man's contributions will belong to him. The words belong to him may mean plenty or poverty. If you believe mine is mine, then you will end up with what you have. Do you really want to be the one to interpret the verse, or do you want Hashem to? Who has the biggest shovel? I think I would let him do that. He can give me a big pile with that shovel, or he can bury me with it. Shabbat Shalom.